been a monumental couple of weeks. A lot of big, important things happening. A couple of weeks, not Friday, but last Friday, Amy and I celebrated 21 years of marriage. And then this past Friday, Brother Phil Wagner celebrated 70 years of life. And tonight, Dwayne Houck sang all three songs and all verses of all three songs. So it's been a big couple of weeks at Faith Baptist Church. You found Charmin?
I found it.
And we finished the discipleship study, and we are getting ready to finish Romans. I think we ought to have cake sometime soon to celebrate all of these. Yeah, cheesecake. All right, Romans chapter 16. Let's look beginning in verse 19 and read through the end of the chapter. The Bible says, "For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. Timotheus, my fellow worker, and Lucius and Jason and Sosipater, my kinsmen, salute you. I, Tertius, who wrote this epistle, salute you in the Lord. Gaius, mine host, and of the whole church, saluteth you. Erastus, the chamberlain of the city, saluteth you. And Quartus, a brother. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all. Amen. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began." And that's talking about the church. "But now is made manifest by the scriptures of the prophets, according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen." Lord, once more we come to you and ask you for your help. We need your help every time we come to your word. Help us not to see it through human eyes. Help us to understand it for what it is, your word, and what you mean by it. And help us to be changed by it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We come now to the end of this book of Romans that we have been studying verse by verse for some time now. And I don't know this. I really don't know. I know how long we were in discipleship. I really don't know how long ago we started Romans. It's not been as long as discipleship. But we have been here for a while. And we have learned many things. This book is broken into five divisions. The first division, we saw man's need for salvation. The second division, we saw God's method for salvation. So first off, we saw that man needs to be saved, and then we learn in a few chapters how God saves man. And then we saw the results of salvation, which was largely internal. What happens on the inside? Who are we now that we're saved? What has taken place inside of a believer? The Holy Spirit has come to indwell. We are our inner man is now born of God, and a change has taken place on the inside. Pardon me. And then we saw the effects of salvation on Old Testament covenants, that God's promises to his people, the nation of Israel, have not changed, and that he will fulfill those promises that are still waiting to be fulfilled, and that nothing has been canceled out or done away with. God did not have one way of saving people in the Old Testament and another way to save them in the New. But we saw that we saw in relation to Israel and how the Old Testament, or how the effects of salvation on the Old Testament covenants. And then the last division that we've been looking at here is the practical outworking of salvation. So the results of salvation on the inside then are to work their way to the outside, the practical, in practice, everyday outworking of salvation. What should the change that has taken place on the inside look like on the outside? And we're not talking about being fake. We're not talking about being phony. We're not talking about just putting on the right clothes or saying the right words. We're talking about if there has been a real and true and genuine change on the inside of a man when he got saved. And there is if he's been saved. Because God makes us a new creature. Someone, something has been changed, and we are a new person on the inside. And this last division of the book goes on to tell us, now that that's happened, you have got to let that change work its way out to the outside so that people can see it. And we do that by walking in the Spirit and not after the flesh. And we were given so many examples of how that is to be done. Our dealings with other people, our dealings with the brethren, our dealings with government and those in authority over us. But we come now to the close of this book. And in these last few verses, we find a few things. We find a commendation, we find an instruction, and then we find two promises as this book comes to a close. So let's look at those tonight. Let's look at the commendation, the instruction, and two promises that are given to us here. In verse 19, he says, "For your obedience has come abroad unto all men. I am glad, therefore, on your behalf. But yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil." Here is the commendation, and that is, your obedience is come abroad unto all men. Look back there at chapter 1, Romans chapter 1. Pardon me. And verse 8, this commendation is, he's really kind of repeating what he said at the very beginning of the letter, Romans chapter 1 and verse 8. He says, "First, I thank my God through Jesus Christ for you all, that your faith is spoken of throughout the whole world." What a commendation. To have the Apostle Paul, okay? Someone whose life was so radically changed by Christ. Boy, didn't he go from one extreme to another? There's no in between in the Apostle Paul's life. He goes from persecuting the church to leading people to the church. He goes from leading people to jail for being a part of the church to leading lost sinners into the body of Christ, into the church. The change that took place on the inside definitely was seen on the outside in the life of the Apostle Paul. There had been a radical change in his life. And this man, this, you know, one of the greatest Christians that's ever lived, said to these believers at Rome, he says, "Hey, everybody knows about you guys." Now, that's not always a good thing. When you hear somebody say, "You know what, everybody knows that about that person," or "Everybody knows this," it's not always good. It was here. He says, "You know, there are restaurants maybe that none of us would think about walking into because everybody knows what it's like in there. Everybody knows how bad the food is there. Everybody knows how dirty it is." So reputations can be bad or good. Paul here says, "You've got a good one, church." He says, everybody knows this about you. And he says it again here in the last chapter in the 19th verse, "For your obedience is come abroad unto all men." They know this about you. They know that you're saved. They know that you love the Lord. And they know that you strive to live in obedience to His Word. That you're trying to be disciples. That you want to be who He's called you to be. Look, so many people spend their entire lives trying to make a reputation. Whether it's in school, at work, in the community, maybe in politics, maybe just in the little community where they live. in their town, in their state, in a field of study. A lot of people give a lot of time and effort and consideration to being known as the top of their field. If I were to say, let's say sports. If I were to just name some sports, you probably would have two or three people that would come to mind. If I said basketball, right away, big names would come to mind. Okay? Now, if you're from Terre Haute, what name's got to come to mind? Sandy? Larry Bird. Old Larry. That's got to come to mind. Many would say Michael Jordan. When I was a kid, he was one of the best. Some would say Julius Irving, Wilt Chamberlain. You don't even really have to know anything about sports to know those names because they made a reputation for themselves. If I said football or baseball, same way. Now, if I said Tour de France or something like that, you might be kind of scratching your head. Lance Armstrong is the only bike rider we know is Lance Armstrong. Okay, but names would come to mind. Why? Because those people spent a lot of time and a lot of effort and a lot of money in training and hiring trainers and coaches and all this to build a reputation for themselves. And they did it, at least as far as the world is concerned, they did a pretty good job of making people know who they were. All those people we just named, all those basketball players, none of them play ball anymore. They've been retired for a long time, and some of them are dead, but people still know who they are. They're still buying their stuff. Why? They had a reputation, but they had to work at the reputation. What reputation, what report would you like to have? One based on the temporal things of this world, or one based on eternal things? Who do you want giving a good commendation of you? The world or our Savior? You know what the Bible... Here. There are a lot of descriptions given to different people in the Bible. David was... What was David? A man after God's own heart. Hey, that's a pretty good commendation. That's pretty good there. Okay? Job. God had some good stuff to say about Job, didn't he? But you know what my favorite is? Might not be yours. I mean, a man after God's own heart, and Job, one that escheweth evil. That's some good stuff. But listen, Daniel. But you know what my favorite is? It's very simple. Abraham. You know what the Bible says of Abraham? He was the friend of God. I can't even explain why that means so much to me. But to me, it sounds so simple, but I think there's so much packed in that Abraham was called the friend of God. Church, you could have a reputation for having a lot of friends, knowing a lot of people. When you die, the line for your viewing, for your funeral, might be 5 city blocks long. It might take 2 and 3 times as much, as long to get everybody through there because all the people that you know. And it may be so small and so simple you could get everything over in 10, 15 minutes. Maybe nobody really knew too much about who you were. Maybe you had friends a mile long. Maybe you had business associates a mile long. And maybe not that many people knew you by name. But when that day comes, you know what commendation we need? That we were the friend of God. We got to be known by Him. We've got to be known by Him. While we're here waiting for that day to come, we need this commendation. The one that Paul gave to the church in Rome, he said, your obedience, he says specifically, your obedience has come abroad unto all men. Hey, if there's one thing that people ought to know about me, about you, about this church collectively, it is who our Savior is. And what we believe about Him. And that our obedience to Him and bringing glory and honor to Him is above anything else that we could do with our lives. It shouldn't be what the building looks like, though we need to take care of it. Shouldn't be what kind of music, though it needs to be Christ-honoring. It shouldn't be programs and activities. It should be that place. You can't talk to, and I said this here recently, you can't talk to anybody from Faith Baptist without them asking if you've been saved. Asking if you've been born again. They always are giving you those little pieces of paper that they call tracts. They're always asking you to come to church, inviting you to come to church. Paul told the church at Rome, he said, hey, everybody's heard about your obedience. Let me ask you, what is our report? We won't turn there. Yeah, we will. 1 Thessalonians. I was going to say we won't because we've been studying on Wednesday nights, but the more we read it, the better we'll remember it. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1. 1 Thessalonians chapter 1, verses 8 and 9. To the church at Thessalonica, here's what Paul says, for from you sounded out the word of the Lord not only in Macedonia and Achaia, but also in every place your faith to Godward is spread abroad, so that we need not to speak anything. For they themselves show of us what manner of entering in we had unto you and how you turned to God from idols to serve the living and true God. There's a good commendation. It says, we don't even have to tell people about your dedication and your love and your preaching of the gospel. Everybody just knows it. If they know you, they know it. Look at Hebrews chapter 11. What's Hebrews chapter 11? Well, we call it the faith chapter or the hall of faith. You ever read this and see some people in there and think, well, what are they doing in there? Or you read it and say, how'd they get in there? What are they mentioned for? There's a reason that every single one of them was mentioned. But look, we want verse 39. And these all, right here, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. We won't get into what that means specifically. We're going to look at that in Sunday school here pretty soon. But look what he says. They obtained a good report. They're in this chapter, they're in this hall of faith because of the faith that they had in our Lord. And that was what was known of them. That was this good report. That's how they got their names mentioned here. So let me ask you this question. What is your report? If I did not know you, and I met you today for the first time, and I walked up to you and I said, let me have the name of two or three of your neighbors, a couple people you work with, or some people you have to deal with through business. Or I just went randomly, knocked on some neighbors' doors. What if I just went and knocked on some of your neighbors' doors and said, hey, you know Lynn down here? You know Lynn Ridner? Tell me about Lynn. What would they say? If I went to some people you worked with, what would they say? You say, well, listen, if it worries you what they might say, then you need to be worried about the report that you have. But if you're pretty confident and say, well, I'm pretty confident that they would know that I was a believer, and I'm pretty confident that they would tell you I've tried to witness to them or I've given them a track. I'm pretty confident that they would say that I've dealt honestly with them in all of our dealings. Or would you give me a list and say, go talk to these people. Don't talk to these people over here. Don't bother talking to these. That gives you an idea of what maybe your report is. We're not talking about being haughty. We're not talking about it being arrogant. We're saying, have I lived sincerely? Have I lived sincerely among people so that if someone walked up, a stranger walked up and said, what can you tell me about them? That I would at least have a pretty good idea of what they would say, and that it would probably be, well, they're honest and they're a Christian and they've told me about church, they've told me about God. What is your report? I'll tell you something else you can do. You can ask yourself that question. I give you this recommendation for you to use at your own risk. There's no lifeguard. Swim at your own risk here. Maybe go up to somebody at work and ask them that. Hey, what's my report? Now today you probably have to explain to them what you mean. People don't, you know, you might say, hey, what's my reputation? Say, hey, you know, if a stranger were to ask you about me, be honest with me. Tell me what you would tell them. You've got to find somebody that's going to be honest with you and not afraid that you're going to punch them out for the answer. What's my report? Let me ask you this. Do you have one? Or do you fly so far under the radar people aren't even sure what your name is? Come on, we ought to stand out, but we ought to stand out for the right reasons. What's our report as Faith Baptist Church? As far as I know, we don't have a bad name in this community. I'm sure not everybody likes us. Some people have left here, okay. But I don't think we have a bad name in this community. But do we have a name? Or is it, there is a church there. Oh, that's right. Yeah, I think I've heard of you all. We ought to have a name. We ought to be working to have a name. Oh, those are those people that are always leaving stuff on my doorknob. Those are those people that are always knocking. Those are the people that are always giving us these tracks. Oh, we ought to have a name. He says here to the church at Rome, and he said it to the church at Thessalonica, hey, people know about you. They know about your faith. Do we have a report? Do we have a name? If it is it one worth having? This is the commendation. Church, we need this to be said of us. People need to know who Faith Baptist Church is, what Faith Baptist Church is, and they need to know it because they're always running into people. You say, well, there's only a handful of us. It doesn't take a whole lot. It just takes a handful standing up for the gospel and living godly, and word will get around. We need to get the word out. People need to know what Faith Baptist Church is about because we're about Jesus Christ, and that's who they need to know. That's why we have to have a good name and need to have a good commendation, because we're trying to get them to Christ. And that's what they need to know about us. after this commendation, we see an instruction. He says, I am glad therefore on your behalf, but yet I would have you wise unto that which is good and simple concerning evil. Wise unto that which is good. How are we going to be wise unto that which Paul says, I want you to be educated and be learned in good, solid, biblical doctrine and know the truth. How does that happen? 2 Timothy, study to show thyself approved unto God, a workman that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. How can I be wise unto that which is good? Well, we know the word, and by knowing the word, I'll be wise unto that which is good. And then, as things come down the road, I can judge those things. That's scriptural. That's not. That's good. That's not. But then notice he doesn't just say that. He says, and simple concerning evil. The word simple here means unmixed or innocent. Believers are to live a life of honesty and holiness, and we're not to be wrapped up in the world. He says, look, you need to be wise. You need to know what is good. You need to be in the word. But you don't need to be, you need to be simple when it comes to evil. You don't need to know everything there is to know about the filth and the sin in this world. Listen, you'll learn enough just trying to live your life. You don't need to go digging to find out all the garbage. It means unmixed. It means innocent. Look at Philippians chapter 2 with me, please. Philippians chapter 2. Talking about being simple unto that which is evil. Philippians chapter 2 and verse 13, for it is God which worketh in you both to will and to do of his good pleasure. Do all things without murmurings and disputings, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke, in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation, among whom ye shine as lights in the world, holding forth the word of life, that I may rejoice in the day of Christ, that I have not run in vain, neither labored in vain. Let me ask you, are we living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation? I would say so. Are we seeing the outworking of a crooked and perverse nation more in the recent months than we have in a few years? Listen, I don't know. I'm not telling you anything that you don't know. But when a couple of, this is just within the last few days, when a couple of police officers go to arrest a man who fights them and takes one of their weapons off of them, and then they have to shoot him, and then the community, and it's at a fast food restaurant, and the response of some of the people in the community is to burn the restaurant to the ground. You are living in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. When you have people on television begging you for money to save the little hungry puppy dogs, and then they march in the street, women with signs, keep your laws off my body, you live in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation. When sodomites, which is what the Bible says they are, don't get upset by that word. That's what they, you know, the word homosexual is not in Scripture. It's effeminate. Sodomites, when they march in the streets, and not only march in the streets, but do such things in those marches that we wouldn't dare mention. And people stand up and say, oh, that's a That's a right. That's a right. You are living in the midst. Listen, let me say this real quick and then we'll move on. Just because in this nation we have the right to do certain things doesn't make those things right. Fornication is not illegal. Adultery is not. You don't go to jail for fornication or adultery, but God's word says it's sin. Just because your government says, no, that's not illegal. A lot of things aren't illegal. Just because something isn't illegal doesn't mean that it's right or that it's moral or that it's righteous. The government might say, yeah, you can march in the street and put your filth on display. That doesn't make it right. You're living in the midst of a crooked and a perverse nation. Well, Pastor, why'd you go off on that? Well, I reckon God wanted me to. But look at this. He says that you may be blamed, in verse 15, you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Now look, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. One man said it like this. People complain, Christians complain and say, it's so dark, the world's so dark, the world's so dark. Then turn your light on. Because light shines brighter the darker the room is. Right now these lights are pretty bright. In about 2 or 3 hours, it'll be a lot brighter in here because of how dark it is outside. The darker it gets, the brighter the light will shine. Then get it out from underneath the basket so that the world can see it. I know that these are ridiculous times to be living in. I know we look back to how it was when we were kids and growing up and say, boy, the nation has changed so much. But do we not realize the opportunity that we have, that God let us be on the court at this stage in the game, that we have such an opportunity for our lights to shine because the darkness is so great? Don't worry about, is there going to be a sweeping revival? Are thousands going to be saved? That's none of our business. The Great Commission says, go. That's our business. Why don't we start thanking God? Lord, this is where you've got me, so this is where you want me. Help me, Lord, so that my light will shine. Ephesians chapter 5. What are we looking at? We're looking at the fact that God wants us not to be, He wants us to be simple concerning things that are evil. He doesn't want us to be mixed up with the world. He wants us to be innocent. Ephesians chapter 5, verses 11 and 12. And have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove them. Now look here, for it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret. You know, sometimes we as believers just talk about stuff we've got no business talking about. We use words and we use descriptions sometimes that we don't mean it in a sinful way, but there are some things that just, we don't need to be talking about them. There's an example. I want to look over at, let's see. Go back to verse 1. Ephesians 5 and verse 1. Be therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also hath loved us and hath given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Look, but fornication and uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Sometimes we just talk about things. Sometimes we joke about things that I don't think God's laughing. we have a responsibility to be simple when it comes to those evil things. Don't be mixed. Be innocent. Be unmixed. Watch what we say. Watch what we talk about. Watch how we describe things, the words that we use. Hey, let's remember this. Other people can hear. Little ones can hear. Let's watch our word usage. Let's watch how we describe things. Let's watch the things that we talk about. It might not be that big a deal to you and the person who's listening, but the person walking by might be completely innocent in that matter. Let's not take that from them. Simple, unmixed, innocent. Let's go back there. Romans. We've seen the commendation. We've seen the instruction. Be wise unto that which is good and be simple. Be simple concerning evil. Now, as he begins to close out this book, a couple of great promises here. Verse 20 says, "And the God of peace shall bruise Satan under your feet shortly." Boy, aren't you looking forward to that day coming? You see, Christ has already dealt with the penalty of sin. And now as we live here and we grow in sanctification, He's working on us in regards to the practice of sin, getting that flesh under control. But this verse talks about glorification. One day He'll take us home and remove us from the very presence of sin. But there's more to this bruising of Satan than just taking us home. 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Verse 51. "Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal shall put on immortality." Listen, the teaching of sinless perfection, that while you're here on earth, you get to a point where it's absolutely impossible for you to sin, that's not scriptural. The Apostle Paul is telling, a believer is telling other believers, what can we say? He says, "For this corruptible." He's saying, there's something about me that's corruptible. What? The flesh. "So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory." Now here it is. "O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory?" You know what Paul's saying? What can you do to me? My God already conquered you. My God already took the devil's own sword, death, and slew him with it. "The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Sometimes it seems like it's in vain. Doesn't matter what it seems like. God said it's not in vain. And so that's why we keep laboring. But this corruptible is going to put on incorruption. Go to Revelation 20. Revelation 20. And verse 10. This is when I said there's more to this bruising than just the Lord taking us out of here. Look right here. And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone where the beast and the false prophet are and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever. You see, he's going to be bound for 1,000 years and then loosed for a little season. Then he's going to be cast into the lake of fire. And it won't be for a little season. It'll be forever and ever. Hey, what a great promise. The Lord's already dealt with the penalty of sin. And one day he's going to deal with the very presence. And it'll be gone. It won't just be us in heaven and sin still going on down here. The devil's going to be cast into the lake of fire. New heaven, new earth. And you won't be able to find sin anywhere. Now if you go back to Romans there, you find the next promise. Verse 25, now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ according to the revelation of the mystery which was kept secret since the world began, but now is made manifest and by the scriptures of the prophets according to the commandment of the everlasting God, made known to all nations for the obedience of faith. To God only wise be glory through Jesus Christ forever. Amen. Go back to verse 25. The second promise is in the first sentence. Now to him that is of power to establish you according to my gospel and the preaching of Jesus Christ. There is a promise here that God will establish. We use the word established now, but that he will establish us. You know what that word means? It means to fix, to settle in a state for permanence, to make firm. He says, church, believers at Rome, God can make, has the power to plant your feet firmly. Be ye steadfast and unmovable. God has the power to get that done. God has the power to bring that about. You see, if we're not established, if we're not settled, most of the time it's because we're trying to do that in our own strength. We need him to help us. We need him to establish us. 1 Peter chapter 5. First Peter chapter 5. Verse 10, but the God of all grace who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. That will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed upon thee, because he trusteth in thee. The Lord's the one that settles us. He's the one that gives us strength. He's the one that can establish you and I. Let's look at two more passages. Ephesians chapter 4. Verse 11, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we all come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lay in wait to deceive, but speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things which is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by that which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part maketh increase of the body unto the edifying of itself in love. What's he say there in verse 14, that we would be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine. You don't want to be carried about? Get your feet planted in the Word. Finally, Psalm 1, the very first Psalm. Psalm 1. Verses 1 through 3. Blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor standeth in the way of sinners, nor sitteth in the seat of the scornful. But his delight is in the law of the Lord. In his law doth he meditate day and night. Now look what happens if you love God's word and you meditate in it all the time. Look what happens. And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Well, I'm just not very strong. Do you love God's word, and are you meditating on his word day and night? You know, I just don't bring forth much fruit. Do you love God's word, and are you meditating on his word day and night? Because there's the formula. He just said that if we would not walk according to those of the world, if we would not walk in the counsel of the ungodly, if we would not standeth in the way of sinners, if we wouldn't sit in the seat of the scornful, and if we would delight in his law, which is his word, and if we would meditate in it day and night, then what will happen? And he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that bringeth forth his fruit in his season. His leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he doeth shall prosper. Now, I don't even need to expound on that. There's the formula. You don't feel very strong. You don't feel like you're very established, not bearing fruit. Here's the formula. In closing, as we close this sermon and close out the study of this book, let me say this. As we wait for the Lord to take us home, let us live out the change that's taken place on the inside due to salvation. While we're waiting, let's let salvation be seen on the outside. One day the Lord will take us home, and we're going to see the end of sin and suffering. Sister Penny sang this morning, "Until then, my heart will go on singing." Penny said on her way out, she said, "You reminded me of Pastor Romans this morning." I never met Pastor Romans. She said, "You reminded me of Pastor Romans." She said, "He used to sing along when I sang specials." I said, "Well, this morning was the first one that you sang that I knew that I could sing along, because it was a hymn out of our hymnal." Penny has songs, and I told her this, she has songs that I know from hearing her do them as specials, but I had never heard them until she sang them. That was the first one that wasn't a surprise to me, that I already knew. And that's a beautiful song too, isn't it? I don't think they would mind me telling this. Rosalie told me on the way out, she said, "That's the song that I've been playing and singing through this whole virus thing." It's a blessing to hear that, isn't it? I keep singing, or at least keep thinking of, songs like we did, "This World Is Not My Home." You know, those kind of things. Blessed reminders. I don't like seeing what's going on. But more than anything, I don't like seeing it because we're seeing lost people. We want to see people get saved. But I sure am glad this isn't all there is. Until then, until he comes to take us home, only he is able to establish us as we're grounded more and more in the truth of his word. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for what you've taught us in this blessed book of Romans. Lord, help us to continue to go back and read through it and study it just like the rest of the Bible, and to be changed by it, and teach us even more. Lord, I know I'm sure that I only scratched the surface. Lord, I know how inadequate I am in trying to preach your word. I know that we didn't get to near the depths that we could have. But Lord, I pray that you would take what we did examine, what we did learn, and change us by it. And the next time we go through it, I pray that you would teach us even more, and that every time we would learn something new from you out of this good old book that you've given us, that we would continue to see more than we have seen before, so that we can be more obedient and changed by you. Lord, help us to be your witnesses this week. Help us to lead someone to you. Give us peace. Give us strength. Walk with us. And help us to draw nigh. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.